A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And here we are in studio. Wayne Winston and I are here on WICC Studios. And you can be listening to us at 107.3 FM, as well as AM 600, as well as WICC600.com, and of course on Alexa. We are able to be heard everywhere. We are in studio today. Our telephone number, 203-333-9422. Do give us a call and be part of the conversation. You can call me at 203-333-9422. Hello and welcome, Wayne Winston.
Well, good morning. What an amazing experience being here.
It's fun, right?
Across from you.
I know.
That's pretty crazy.
So
I love
great.
It.
Man. We've been doing it all this time on the phone.
Yes. Yes.
I know. Well, you can be a regular on Wednesdays if you want to come in as much as you want, because I'm hoping that Wednesdays is my regular day in the studio. It looks like it's going to be my once a week. So if you want to make a habit of it, it's perfectly fine with me.
Works for me.
So first of all, Wayne, I'd like your take. Let's focus on Connecticut for a moment. I'd like your take politically on the election results from yesterday. What are the races that you specifically think are important in terms of the issues of race that we talk about on Wednesdays?
Oh, I want to give the town of Guilford, you know, some hand claps there that the Democrats were able to prevail after having that huge take up, having that huge takeover by these far right people. You know, no left turn, even from their national support, Truth in Education was not able to prevail. And I think that's where most people are, that are Republicans in this state. And I was often talking to friends of mine, as well as you, Lisa, that the Republican Party really has to get the folks to step up that are part of the type of Republicans that our parents knew and get them back, but with the new energy of this generation, because they're being overshadowed by the crazies, because, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. So for sure there, I'm very proud of the town of Weston, who actually have the first African-American second selectman, and congratulations to Sam, who was reelected as well. You know, and that's historic.
What's his name?
His name is Martin Mobier.
Okay.
He's probably listening right now.
Good. I'm looking forward to meeting him.
He's an awesome guy.
He's a constituent of mine.
Oh, well, very good.
Weston is part of the Westport Weston Probate District.
Well, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
and
so
what,
do I.
What makes it awesome is that there's only to research, there's been one African-American selectman. He was out like towards New London. So Martin is the first one in Fairfield County.
Is that right?
Yes. First one person of color, as far as we know, in Fairfield County, and definitely the first black one. Amazing to
wait,
think.
Wait. You're distinguishing of color and black? Did you just make two distinctions? I'm confused.
I believe it is of color, period, as far as second selectmen go. We didn't find any Middle Easterns, any Native Americans.
Oh. We have to stop doing all of this piecemealing identity politics, Wayne. It's really... Keep going.
Well...
It's troubling.
I understand, but
you know what I mean?
We
say this as a proud Jewish American girl, but I, you know, a girl. I'm not allowed to say I'm a girl. Woman, sorry. I don't want to offend anybody. See, that's where my generation comes. But but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. The fact that he's black is definitely significant.
Yes. I mean,
very significant.
And there's nothing wrong with that because of the history that we've been through in a town like Weston, so very affluent. You know, a place like that, if you look statistically, it would be difficult for him to win.
That's a good point.
You know, so...
That's a good point. I'm sure that in Weston, it's probably less than 10% black.
Yes, it is, definitely.
Right?
Yes, I think it's less than 5.
It might be less than 5.
So, that says a lot.
And black is a distinct subsection of color, right?
Yes.
Because of color. Now, let me ask you something. The first Asian mayor of Boston, who's a young woman, only 36, 37 years old, got elected, Michelle Wu.
Mm-hmm.
Does Asian count in the of color?
Absolutely.
So anybody non-white is of color?
Yes. Yes. Because the dominant system is predominantly white culture. If you take it to the level of elected officials and power influence, it's white males. You know, so even when you have a female, obviously that doesn't fall into the color But it does go to breaking through that wall that has been traditionally held by white males. And we still have a lot of that because that's where the power structures are. So the ideal is that when you go in as a woman or as a person of color, you bring a level of sensitivity, a level of not just personality, but reflection and a conscientiousness that was lacking. Because a lot of times we see a lot of crazy things going on and go, boy, you know, who's making those decisions? You know, what were they thinking? And sometimes diversity, and it could be a female, and again, when it comes to black people being, you know, the ones that the laws were definitely defined as except for black people from our Constitution, we've often discussed, you know, that's why it's real. You know, we had to have a civil rights movement, and that was about black people. It wasn't about Asians. It wasn't about Latinos. So these things still exist, and especially in a time where we got so polarized with President Trump, he's basically the guy who says, you don't even have to listen to the election or the polls. You know, we can find me some votes. You know, and this is the president of the United States. Find me some votes.
Find
it's like unbelievable.
Georgia. 203-333-9422. We're chatting with Wayne Winston about race. And you're welcome to pick up the phone and be part of the conversation. We're reviewing some of the election results. Since we're talking about race, I don't want to spend too much time, but I do want to touch on Minnesota because it's making national news today that this is, of course, where George Floyd was killed, murdered. And this is where the people of Minnesota convicted Derek Chauvin and sent him to jail on the charge of murder. But nonetheless, in a translation to public policy with a so-called defund police reform bill, it was soundly defeated by the people in Minnesota. So I'm curious, Wayne, your take on that.
Well, the hard part is, you know, listen, people communicate by what it is that they hear and how they process what they hear. Defund the police, for example, and I understand the passion of where it came from. It was a horrible thing to say because it's not what you say, it's how you say it. That's why they spend a lot of money, these major corporations, in marketing and branding so that people can say what feels better, which makes sense. What they really wanted was to redirect the funds. We know we need the police departments. You know, there's no such thing as getting rid of all of them. But redirect the funds because having healthcare workers, for example, who would be there and go on to a scene when someone calls in and says, hey, my son or daughter has mental problems, why would they not be part of that team? Since we do have other people that are trained in those things, like an EMS, maybe it's something they do. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, well, I also think with respect to Minnesota, you're right, the defund the police is a terrible slogan. It's a loser for Democrats, by the way.
Yes.
It makes people want to run away from the Democratic Party. And actually, we saw that woman in Buffalo, the progressive woman, who actually ran as an avowed socialist, lose in a write-in candidacy. She lost to the black incumbent mayor of Buffalo in a write-in, even though AOC and these so-called progressive Democrats came to Buffalo in order to try and get her to win, which tells me, as if I didn't already know, that the message of being too far left is not something palatable to most Americans. It's not. It's palatable to some, but it's not palatable to most.
I think they all want a balance. But, you know, there's people who don't love AOC. So if you put it from that dynamic, there's people
but
who
But that
just,
candidate did. That's why
like.
She embraced her. She wanted her there in sure. Buffalo.
Sure.
She thought she would sail to victory because she got the nomination. What Biden ever wins? He won. He won by a lot. He didn't just win by a little. All right, let's go to the caller. We have somebody, I think, who's a friend of yours, Martin from Weston. Martin, am I congratulating you on your victory as second selectman in Weston? Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. It's nice to finally be here on this program. Congratulations are in order, and I'm grateful, and I am humbled. I heard you guys talking there for a second, and I felt compelled to kind of call in. You know, I am kind of the first selectman to the Board of Selectmen, first black selectman in the history of Weston. And, you know, I've been kind of the first or the only in the room at several stages in my life, whether it's at the playground, whether it's in my dorm room, by the way, the new mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu, and I shared the same alma mater at Harvard. Yes, whether it's at the leadership council.
Am I supposed to say, well, excuse me? I can't help it. A little bit of Steve Martin just came right through. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Martin.
The facts, ma'am. Because as I was saying, you know, it's, I've been the first and the only, and I'm sure there are quite a few people who know that feeling, whether you're the only black or brown face in as part of a parent group, or the only female in a board meeting, or the non-binary player on the sports team. But of all the firsts, I've got to say this is probably one of the most meaningful firsts, if you will, because the town of Weston did not appoint but elected the first black selectman. And I think that shows that our community is being very intentional about embracing equity and inclusion to be in all parts of its government. So I feel very proud of my town today because I believe we can be a new model for other municipalities in Connecticut as well. So
let me ask you something, Martin. First of all, let me get your last name out. Well, how do we pronounce your last name?
It's Mohabir, M-O-H-A, Beer.
Mohabir, thank you. Martin, I don't think we've met personally yet, but of course we need to. And you're welcome, by the way, as a second selectman or just merely as a citizen of Weston, always to come down to room 100 in Town Hall in Westport because we are your probate court. And I invited Samantha Nestor when she became first selectman to come for a tour and meet her clerks. And she did so. And actually, one of our clerks is a resident of Weston, brand new clerk. So you're welcome to come do that. And frankly, I think that you should, because probate court is where much of the human services issues end up in our communities. So
that's
I think
right.
You should know about that. But in any event, first of all, Martin, congratulations. I want to know, was your race ever a factor, either spoken or unspoken, in the campaign?
I don't think it was ever spoken per se, and in some regards, I almost think that's ironically a negative. I mean, I think in fact, actually, one person told me, don't talk about race. People will be able to visually look at you and see that you are black. You are a black man. But the reality is that you know I think it's almost a benefit. You know, I think it should have been something that was actually embraced and maybe even celebrated, because at the end of the day, the message really is to my kids, to the kids in the community, to the adults in our community, that race actually is not necessarily negative, that leadership comes in different shapes and color, if you will, and that's actually a beautiful thing. We're healthier for that community. When we're able to acknowledge that and even, like I said, celebrate that.
I think that that's a very interesting difference in style, Wayne. I want to bring you into this.
Sure.
Earlier in the show, Melissa Sheketoff and I were talking. I think it was on Melissa's show. And she commented on the fact that Jen Tooker and Andrea Moore, who both won as first and second selectmen, which is a first in Westport, in that the two women will be occupying first and second selectmen. We've had one of each various times. She commented that they didn't make an issue of it in the campaign, which they didn't. They didn't say vote for the two girls because it was obvious with all their pictures and names that you were. And Melissa thought that that was a smart strategy and a classy strategy. And not only that, she thought it was a welcome strategy because it didn't shove something in the voters' faces that was obvious, right? And that it sort of meant that we had gotten past only looking at people's gender, and we could assume that two women running would be just as qualified as two men, so that we didn't have to, you know, put it down with a punctuation point. But what you're saying, Martin, is that you think that we haven't really reached that yet with respect to race and color. And that's what I'm hearing anyway. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm hearing that you would have liked race to have been mentioned more in the campaign. You think it would have been good for the community. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look, two things can exist at the same time, right? I mean, first and foremost, competence is the name of the game here. Anyone who won, myself, Andrea, and her running mate, Samantha Nestor, we're all competent. Dare I say highly competent. So that's important. But our lived experiences are equally important. That's what we bring to the table. You know, I'm not here to simply rubber stamp any of the other selectmen. I'm here to kind of bring something different, a diverse perspective, a different point of view. And that is something that ought to also be embraced and acknowledged.
Wayne, you want to say something about that?
Yes, I think the thing with Weston is earlier in the year, we had a issue with a police altercation with a gentleman, Walter Simpson, letter writing. In fact, they had one of the biggest Zoom calls to deal with that issue. And, basically a woman seeing this black man collecting
That's
his mail.
Right.
It was huge. And
it was huge for the town of Weston.
You could look at it to say, you know, oh, my God, Weston is so racist, because that's usually what comes out of that. Because if you pick something random like that, you're driving by in your car, you feel a need to call, you know, and then the police come, and then, you know, Walter is absolutely threatened. I had a chance to meet and talk to him, you know, and here we are months later, you know, because the woman did apologize, and that made the call that started that whole
That's right.
dynamic. And here we are months later, and they are electing a second selectman who is a black man, is outstandingly a good thing. It says a lot about the people. So I'm saying, as we've often said, that most of the people are better than what we think. It's just that those ones that are doing the wrong thing, we have to weed those people out to get them out the garden, and at the same time understand that we are winning, but we have to continue to fight to win. Because when you don't, the weeds will take over the garden, and that's usually how it works. And we've seen that so many times before.
Martin, I want to thank you for the call. Wayne Winston, stick around. We're in studio. We'll be right back with more of this conversation about race and its impact on the election. We're going to get into some other topics as well. 203-333-9422. You're welcome to be a part of it. Give us a call.
A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Just a moment. 203-333-9422 is our number, 203-333-9422. Wayne, yesterday I actually mentioned a program that a task force is recommending in Hartford as part of a guaranteed universal income. And as part of guaranteed universal income, it looks to be an extraordinary quid pro quo that is being asked of these pilot families, in which the pilot families will have to give up things as personal as their own potential saliva in exchange for having their cortisol levels monitored, all in exchange for money, as well as a very invasive questionnaire that they need to answer. Now, to me, that smacks of racism because, and maybe it's racist of me to assume, but I think that given the population of people they're targeting for this money, it is likely that there will be a lot of people of color that will be targeted to get the money. I don't like the idea of the state collecting this kind of data. The quote-unquote researchers that are recommending it are doing it almost as an experimentation on the people that are getting the money. And it just strikes me altogether as really distasteful and awful. And I was wondering if you knew about it and your thoughts on it.
You know, just what the newspaper article has said, I want to get more information on it. But just at what's available now, it's insane because it's got to be a violation of privacy and so many things on top of that. It's egregious to think something that's a no-brainer. Okay, if you have more money, will you be less stressed? Bottom line, I think most people would raise their hand. Do you need a study for that? No, you don't need a study for that. So
that's the first thing.
That's the first thing. Does money really help? Okay, I can wake up in the morning, my car is broken,
right.
I can pay for it.
Right.
I can pay for my babysitter, you know, because one
of
the
big issues.
So why
are these people being used as guinea pigs?
So the issue with something like that, having to do with primarily going to be inner city people,
yep,
people of color, black, Latino,
I think
and so on. That's very significantly so racist, is my opinion, especially since you're asking for like DNA.
Right.
It's just insane. It's almost like a throwback back to the 60s when if you had welfare in this country and you had social workers that would come in your house and see if you had anything new. You have a brand new iron. Where'd that come from? They'd look in the closet, see if there's any men's clothes or men's shoes. It was horrific.
Did they really do that?
Absolutely, positively. These social workers had to fill out everything that came in there because they accounted for every dime that they gave you in the welfare system. When that was finally eliminated, and that wasn't until like the mid-70s, it was a horrible situation. Those people, those women went through so much, and if you had a job, you were kicked off almost immediately if you made any money because they wanted you to account for every penny before they gave you any money. Now, we're in a different time now, obviously. When you're asking for DNA, that's absurd. It's crazy, and I'm shocked that this coming out of the state of Connecticut, and I hope we do whatever we need to do to stop it.
I think you're going to have to drill down, maybe call some people in Hartford about this task force off air.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not going to have time to do it, so I'm relying on you to do it.
Absolutely.
It's a bad precedent. Very bad. All right, I think, I don't want to, do we have a caller, Andrew? Do we have a Christine caller on hold? Okay, here we go. Christine, hi. You're on the air with Wayne Winston and myself. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lisa. Hi, good morning, Wayne. Good morning, all the listeners.
Hi.
I actually had the chance to speak with you once before, but before I was a candidate, now I'm a candidate-elect.
Oh, congratulations. Did you just win yesterday?
Yes, I did.
All right, give us your full name and the office that you just won.
My name is Attorney Christine Baptiste Perez. And I just won the Bridgeport Board of Education election.
Oh, good for you. Is this your first term on the Board of Ed? Will this be your first term?
Yes, it'll be my first term. And I guess this is my first experience in the political arena. And I'm looking forward to actually being, as one person phrased it to me, a spark of change in the board.
I'm very excited that you got elected. Are you a Democrat, an affiliate, Republican? What affiliation?
I'm affiliated with the Democratic Party. I ran on the Democratic line. But in general, I like to consider myself fair and fairly open to different opportunities and what's going to actually lead the school system to be best for the children.
Christine, how many new members of the Board of Ed are there now in Bridgeport? Are you the only or are there more?
There are additional new candidates. So there were 5 open seats. I got the news about myself shortly this morning.
Congratulations.
But there's 2 new Democrats, and you're going to have to fact check me on this one because there was some counting, as far as I know, regarding who received the additional 2 seats. So 3 Democratic seats were available, which I obtained 1. And then there were 2 that was open to potentially Working Family Party members or candidates or Republican Party.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is in terms of new people, are there more new people on the board for first-timers?
There's definitely 3 new Democrats on the board. And depending on the outcome for the other 2 seats, it may be actually 2 previous board members coming back on.
And of how many altogether? Sure. How many people are on the Board of Ed, Christine?
On the Board of Ed altogether, there's 9.
Oh, so that's a significant group of new people. We're going to have to wrap up. We've only got a minute or so more. I'm so glad that you called in. I hope that you will call in periodically and let us know how it's going.
Oh, no, definitely. I will, and I'm looking forward to just being on the board. And thank you for actually keeping me on being able to get in contact with me. I'm actually working now, and I had a little break come in, so...
Well, I'm very happy for you. I always like to hear when young, fresh voices, and by young, I mean not politically jaded. It's not a question of age. It's a question of attitude. Get into the ring because, you know, that's what it's about. It's about getting into the ring and fighting the good fight. That's what it's about.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And coming in with new and diverse perspectives. And I think for Bridgeport, being able to work together, it's a board. It's not a single person. It's not an individual. It's a board. And I really want to be focused on what's going to be best for the schools and the children.
Well, I hope you bring back the volunteer school program. I can't tell you how much anguish off air I have heard from people. Even, believe it or not, people from Bridgeport that ended up in my probate court. We start talking in general, and one of them recently said, I'm so bummed that they canceled the school volunteer program.
That's a huge,
yeah, I'm actually
huge
looking
program.
Forward to having a more of a say in what's going on and actually having more access to what happened and how can that be brought back.
That would be great.
What creative ways can it be done?
Perfect. Thank you. We'll be watching and we'll be listening, and feel free to call in when you need some voices and you need to be heard.
I definitely will. Thank you both for your time.
Thanks, Christine. Listen, congratulations. She's going to do a phenomenal job. I know this woman, while she's going to help make things better for everybody. Oh, and for you, Lisa, before we leave, I just figured out that I know someone that knew you from way back, one of my first jobs from Warehouse Outlets, man, and I'm talking about Mike Ray.
I know, unbelievable.
The world is so unbelievable.
We're wrapping it up. We'll be back tomorrow.